Good afternoon and a happy new year from Wavelength. That gives the impression that Wavelength is some sort of team. The truth is that Wavelength is presented, produced, compiled, researched, performed, enabled and financed by one solitary individual known as William English. Over Christmas, returning from Leicester, we chanced upon an Oxfam shop in Market Harbour. Market Harbour is on the relatively scenic route from Leicester to London, avoiding the M1 until Northampton or Newport Pagnell, if you can find the turn-off, which I couldn't. Oxfam now occupies two shops in Market Harbour, one of which majors in books and music. In fact, one whole window is devoted to a quite impressive display of vinyl records selected for their relative rarity or visual interest. Some progressive rock, alongside the best of Dudley Moore, Jacques Lussier plays Bach, and a 10-inch EP called Grown Up Songs by Paddy Roberts. Paddy Roberts being a South African raconteur and songwriter, RAF pilot, later flying Lockheed Constellations for BOAC. Roberts was five times the winner of an Ivor Novello Award, perhaps best known for Lay Down Your Arms by Anne Shelton and Softly Softly by Ruby Murray. One of his own whimsical compositions was The Ballad of Bethnal Green. And he released several EPs and LPs of his own material, some of which are too risque to play here, one involving brownies and wolf cubs. Born 1910, died 1975. Their website now proclaims Oxfam to be the UK's largest seller of second-hand books, which means it's a repository for the UK's unwanted books. This reminds me of Baggins Book Bazaar in Rochester on the River Medway, which claims to be the UK's largest second-hand bookshop. Meandering through the corridors and stairs of Baggins Book Bazaar, you come to a dusty attic room marked poetry, with a small window overlooking a busy dual carriageway. Hundreds of poetry pamphlets, many self-published, falling over themselves. Like a deluded prospector, I imagined that there might be some nugget of concrete poetry tucked away here somewhere. A Xeroxed, stapled obscurity by Bob Cobbing, sandwiched between Pam Ayres and Somerset de Cher. But no, just the relentless sound of traffic on a Tuesday afternoon. Whilst I try to achieve browsing level, retracing my steps through several thousand copies of well-worn National Geographic magazines, not even fool's gold. You could spend hours in Baggins. Of course, you can spend hours anywhere, depending on how much time is on your hands. But Baggins, like many second-hand bookshops, encourages browsing. Browsing being a somewhat detached activity, mostly applied to a mode of behaviour in bookshops, but also antique shops and record shops, but not butchers or fishmongers. One browses with a view to perhaps finding something of interest without necessarily knowing in advance what it might be, an almost somnambulist state. You might browse whilst waiting to meet someone or whilst waiting for a bus. There were only three buses a day going to Tugby in Leicestershire, the Humberston Road Bookshop past the Palais de Danse, the 616 Midland Red to Uppingham. In those days, people still smoked on buses. A double-decker bus in winter, travelling slowly into the countryside, sleet and blackness outside, condensation and cigarette smoke inside. Villagers forced to travel to the closest city for work, blacksmiths, farriers and milkmaids, once skilled in country crafts, now obliged to earn money on the biscuit counter of Lewis's department store, or the Metal Box Company, like extras from Metropolis. Now, Tugby, once a village of 300 people, boasts a cycle cafe serving lattes, cappuccinos and panini, across country via a gated road to Godby, Gloucester and Church Langton, Market Harbour, the Oxfam record shop, comedy and spoken word section, grown-up music by Paddy Roberts and an LP which inspired today's programme, Anna Russell with Jimmy Carroll and his Miserable Five. A square talk on popular music or the decline and fall of the popular song, Tracks from Anna Roberts will be intercut with Florence Jenkins and perhaps the opera scene from Citizen Kane. So some played for laughs, some serious but funny, and some downright deluded. But before that, a snatch of the aforementioned Paddy Roberts. This track is entitled The Big DJ. And following that will be Winkle Picker Shoes by Bernard Cribbins, slowed down to 33 RPM, being the flip side of The Hole in the Ground. English comedy. I feel a series coming on. So I'll just try and line up Paddy Roberts. There we go.
In a little book of verse called Tin Pan Alley. You can get it for £5. Now here's a little song about them. To my friends in the business, I would only say, if the cap fits. I'm a disc jockey, remarkably cocky, with every good reason to be. And I'll say it, though maybe I oughtn't. I'm really most frightfully important. All the teenagers, though simply outrageous, believe every word that I say. I get the new records as soon as they're in, then pick out the ones that create the most din, and the fools go and buy everything that I spin. I'm the big DJ, the big DJ. I'm a disc jockey, and aren't people lucky to have such a fellow as me? I could sell them the simplest arpeggio by plugging it over the radio. Ouch! Though my fans bore me, they simply adore me and hang on each word that I say. They sit there enraptured when I'm on the air, then write in and ask for a lock of my hair. It's part of the cross I'm committed to bear. I'm the big DJ, the big DJ. The publishers greet me with counterfeit glee. They fawn at my feet for a favor from me. That's why all my whining and dining is free. I'm the big DJ, the big DJ.
I've got those, wish I'd never bought these flipping Winkle Picker shoes. Blues. I've got those, what's the good of shoes your feet can't even use? Blues. My little toe's disjointed, the big one comes out pointed. Wish I'd never seen 'em, how they held you clean 'em. Cost me 7 nigger. I've got Winkle Picker shoes, blues. The trouble I've got in me plates, mates. I look at me feet and I freeze. Oh, why was I misguided? I wish that I'd decided to buy elastic-sided booties. I've got those, wish that I could flog these flipping Winkle Picker shoes. blues. I've got those old me aching dogs in shoes that once was news. Blues. Then at youth club dances, me girlfriend won't take chances. Feel a proper knit there. All I do is sit there chatting to the vicar. Oh, I've got winkle picker. It drives a bloke to liquor. I've got winkle picker. Shoes, blues. Hooray for gumboots.
You're right.
I thought you'd see it my way.
There is an elated and a depressed point. Well, in the elated point, the singer is still very cheerful, but nothing they sing about makes any sense at all. And you get the "How's that again?" type of song. These are frequently used for one-minute singing commercials. Solly was so square until he dug that crazy chlorophyll. Since this great new thing began, every chick starts singing, "Man, Chlorophyll Solly is my petunia. Chlorophyll Solly is tweety tweet. Chlorophyll Solly is a peppermint pie. Dig my baby, he's kissing sweet. Chlorophyll Solly is jammy jammy. Chlorophyll Solly is sugar sweet. Chlorophyll Solly is dig my baby, he's kissing sweet. Can't tell an orchid from an old fried onion. Can't tell a chicken from the old barn door. Can't smell the flowers growing in the garden, 'cause the rose is a rose, ain't a rose no more. But Chlorophyll Solly is my petunia. Chlorophyll Solly is tweetsy tweet. Chlorophyll Solly is a peppermint pie. Dig my baby, oh dig my baby, oh dig my baby, he's kissing sweet." Then we come to the depressed point in the manic cycle. This is the no hope left school and is very high styled. It usually has a piano, a bass, sort of rather lazily tinkling along, and a trumpet eedling away by itself in the corner. And the singer sounds as if she had laryngitis, incipient pneumonia, and goodness knows what else. In fact, the whole effect is absolutely exhausted. It's nearly half past four, and I'm out of cigarettes. They said they'd bring some gin, but everyone forgets, and the rain comes down the chimney, and I'm full of old regrets. I guess this is the end of the
right there where you lay. Your woman said, "Why did you do it?
just who are you anyway? I said, now don't you get excited. I'll explain it as well as I can. We're both of us part-time women, 'cause he was a two-time man. Then she said, well, I'll be hornswoggled. I'm glad that I found out in time. And the judge said, I surely don't blame you. A thoroughly justified crime. So men, don't you get so ambitious. And don't take on more than you can. Or you may get a part-time woman. 'Cause you are a two-time man. After that, we get into the schizophrenia period. Where the singer is having a perfectly heavenly time suffering absolute agonies into the microphone about he's not quite sure what. I'm crying through my smiles. I'm laughing through my tears. I'm maladjusted. Into the psycho belt. All of a sudden, there comes Christmas. And there is an absolute tidal wave of darling little girls and sweet little boys making millions of dollars on records. Singing enchanting Christmas songs that are perfectly nauseating. Oh, please, Santa Claus, won't you bring me a doggy if I want to be very, very good? Oh, please, bring me one that says, bow, wow, wow. My mommy said to ask you if you would. Then I Of this, it's just a flash in the pan. And in about 3 weeks, you'll be right back to where you were before. So on the basis of all this stuff that has preceded this, I ask myself, what can we possibly be going to get in for next? I mean, when you've reached the absolute depth. When in your utter misery, you've torn all your hair out and all your clothes off, I mean, what could possibly follow? I mean, I ask myself. The answer I give myself is rather nerve-wracking.
Me so bad, and you made me feel so sad that, darling, you've gone too far. You've driven me a raving mad. My blues kept getting bluer, till the blues suddenly turned to red. My heart kept getting broken, till suddenly I'm cracked in the head. So tired of being sad that I'm glad. Yes, I'm glad you drove me mad.
Thank you.
gravity, on the other hand, were very much more gloomy. Not personal gloom, like you get in popular songs of nowadays, but because, you see, there was absolutely no sex in madrigals. It was a sort of an impersonal dismalness. In these, each voice sort of meanders in by itself, and the effect is somewhat akin to the hooting of owls. Come, lovely death, oh, come, come, lovely death, come, lovely death, unkind demise, come, kind demise, for sorrow is all, for sorrow is all. Come to the cantata style with instrumental obbligato ad nauseam. Here the soloists all sit out in front while an interminable introduction is played. Then one of them will spring up and sing one sentence. Then they will sing it back to front and upside down and inside out and little bits of it until they have exhausted all the permutations and combinations of the sentence. Then they change key, take another sentence, and tootle it around. And after they've done that, what do you suppose they do next? They go right back to the first sentence and do it all over again. That is, of course, in case you didn't hear it the first time. This is the aria, Wir gehen in den Automaten, out of the cantata, the ill-tempered clavicle. And now, if our flautist, Mr. Hoberman, would please come on, we will cooperate in this number. Thank you. matter of fact, coloratura is not actually a type of voice, as is generally supposed nowadays, but a style of singing where the singer goes as fast and as floridly and as brilliantly as possible. And the effect is frequently absolutely shattering. It is usually committed by lyric sopranos, but you could have a coloratura tenor. Thank God we haven't, but you could have. And so now, if Mr. Hoberman will come on once more, we will cross swords over O Gentle Bird with Feathered Breast. Contrasting types of operatic aria, one from a romantic opera and another from a modern opera. Well, now, romantic opera usually deals with the subject of some romance which never comes off owing to the untimely demise of the prima donna. Through one of four causes, murder, suicide, madness, or TB. This is the death scene from the opera Anemia. And is another of the roles that I created when I was prima donna with the Ellis Island Opera Company. And this is where the once beautiful Anemia, having been seduced by Count Ritorno Vincitore, dies in the arms of Isidore, the man she truly loves, from TB. I'd better die now, so this is my last request. Find Ritorno Vincitore and tell him I sent him this last message. My dying whisper. Listen. Contemporary opera deals with the same sort of subjects, only back to front. That is to say, in a modern opera, you would probably find the prima donna dying at the beginning of the opera of TB in an institution. And the subject of the opera would be the mismanagement of the institution by the government. Only the example I'm going to give you isn't quite like that. It's out of the opera, The Psychiatrist. And here, the prima donna is going mad at the beginning of the opera in a lunatic asylum. And the opera deals with the spectacular recovery to sanity of her and the complete breakdown of the psychiatrist. For my neurosis is going to drive me absolutely crazy. He asks such indelicate questions. What is your name? Muriel Perkins. I do not mind answering that. Were you in love, do you think, with your father? And were you ever tempted to murder your mother? And things like that. Another kind of question he loves are frightfully embarrassing ones about sex. But who can I answer such questions when I scarcely know the man? Again. So here we go once more. What is your name? Muriel Perkins. Were you ever in love with your father? And do you feel repressed? Are you insecure? Do you have any feelings of transference to me? I never answer. The only thing I ever do is act nasty. Tell me this, tell me that, tell me what you're thinking now, tell me what you dreamt last night, tell me what this ink spot means. But I often think in my poor, disordered brain that the remedy, is worse than the disease.
Thank you. Thank you.